الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد له فيها من أشر ذي الحجة يعدل صيام كل يوم منها بصيام سنة وقيام كل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates this hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدَ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ أَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned some of the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The month we are passing through, the days we are passing through are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And these 10 days are very virtuous. And each and every person should value every moment of these valuable 10 days and try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, and as a result acquire the proximity, the nearness, the attention and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدَ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ أَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. No days are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His worship than the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ العمل الصالح أحب إلى الله فيها من هذه. There are no days in which good deed is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. That means when a person carries out a good deed in these 10 days, the first of Dhul Hijjah, the second of Dhul Hijjah, the third of Dhul Hijjah, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah, and the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is Yawm al-Nahr, which is the day of Eid al-Adha. So when a person carries out an amal, a good deed, amal saleh, in these 10 days, anywhere in these 10 days, during any moment of these 10 days, and he carries out a good deed during moments other than the moments of these 10 days, during days other than these 10 days, during time other than the time of these 10 days, then the amal carried out during these 10 days is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the amal carried out during other days. And how many days do we have? Only 10 days. So after these 10 days pass away, after the 10th of Zulhijjah, from the 11th of Zulhijjah until the end of Zulqadah next year, any good amal that we carry out is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the amal that we will carry out in the next 10 days will be more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So saying Subhanallah, saying Alhamdulillah, saying Allahu Akbar, saying La ilaha illallah, making dua, reciting the Quran, performing 2 rakat nafl, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping somebody, resisting the base desires, resisting one's nafs from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this struggle that we go through in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is in Makkah Mukarrama or whether it is in Leicester, whether it is during the month of Ramadan or whether it is in Muharram, it is in Safar, it is in Rabiul Awwal, whether it is on a Friday or whether it is on a Monday or Tuesday, anything that we do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remaining within the framework of the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is most beloved when we carry it out during these 10 days. And if it is most beloved during these 10 days, then we should try to carry these good deeds out as much as possible, keeping our other responsibilities in mind, our responsibility towards our family, our responsibility towards ourselves, our responsibility towards our studies, our responsibility towards our work. Keeping all our responsibilities in mind, we should endeavor to do as much good as possible during these 10 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that the worship, the devotion, the good that one carries out during these 10 days, that includes abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is also a good thing, abstaining from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. is very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that if a person was to fast during these 10 days, or rather these 9 days, because we find or we understand from another hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that it is not permissible to fast on the day of Eidul Adha. So it is not permissible to fast on the day of Eidul Fitr. It is not permissible to fast on the day of Eidul Adha. And it is not permissible to fast on the days, 3 days after Eidul Adha. لا تصوموا في هذه الأيام. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the virtues of these 10 days. He also mentions the virtues of fasting during these 10 days. And then through another hadith, he makes the 10th day exceptional as far as the fasting is concerned. That you don't fast on the day of Eid. So one who fasts for one day during these 9 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for fasting a whole year. So if we exert a little bit of effort and fast for 9 days, from the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah until the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us reward for fasting for 9 years. And if we do this consecutively for 10 years, or 10 years throughout our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for fasting for 90 years. Fasting the whole life. And if we do it twice, and if we do it thrice, and if we do it 4 times, then Allah will reward us for fasting during 4 lives. 360 years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds. And He loves good deeds very much during these 9 days. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards good deeds. And He gives much more reward during these 10 days. So much so that He rewards each person for fasting one day by giving him the reward of fasting for a whole year. And further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one who is granted the tawfiq to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a night from these 10 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward equivalent to worshipping him during the night of Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, night of power. And what is night of power? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. Do you know what laylatul qadr is? Do you know the value of laylatul qadr? Laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr. Laylatul qadr is better. Laylatul qadr is better than 1,000 months. So if a person fasts during the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward for fasting a whole year. But if a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a night from the 10 nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for worshipping him throughout the life. Because 1,000 months is equivalent to approximately 81, 82, 83 years. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. And 1,000 months is approximately 80 years. How much better only Allah knows. It could be equivalent to 90 years. It could be 100 years. It could be 200 years. It is better than 1,000 months. It is better than 80 years. So my friends, let us value these 10 days of Zulhijjah and let us resolve to do certain things. Number one, we will try to fast as many days as possible from the 9 days of Zulhijjah. If we are unable to fast tomorrow, if we are unable to fast on Thursday, if we are unable to fast on Friday because we are working, we'll find it hard, difficult. We can fast on Saturday, we can fast on Sunday. We will fast. Inshallah, the 9 days of Zulhijjah. We will try to fast the 9 days of Zulhijjah. If not, then at least a few days. At least a few days. And the best day for fasting from out of these 9 days is the day of Arafah. The 9th of Zulhijjah. The day before the day of Eid. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who fasts on the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins of the past year and the sins of the coming year. Allah will forgive his sins of the past year and sins of the coming year. And of course, this virtue, that one who fasts one day from the 9 days of Zulhijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of fasting for 1 year. So from the 1st of Zulhijjah until the 8th of Zulhijjah, we will acquire the reward for fasting a whole year. And on the 9th of Zulhijjah, Allah will grant us two virtues. One is reward for fasting a whole year. And number two, Allah will forgive our sins of the past year and our sins of the coming year. And it was also the habit of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the riwayah of Abu Dawud Sharif and Nasai Sharif and Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on these days. So inshallah, we will all try to fast as many days as possible from these 9 days. With the intention that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast, so I also want to fast. I want to emulate him. I want to follow in his footsteps. And number two, the other intention is that I want to acquire this reward. I want to acquire this reward. That fasting during the 9 days of Zulhijjah is equivalent to fasting a whole year. So it will make my creator happy. And especially I will make sure that I fast on the 9th of Zulhijjah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive my sins of the past year and sins of the coming year. Number two, we will make a point of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the 24 hours more than we normally do. So we can come slightly earlier to the masjid. We can leave the masjid, spend more time in the masjid and then leave the masjid. If the daily recitation of the glorious Quran is 1 juz, we can increase it to 2 juz, 1.5 juz. More ibadat. Especially during the night. I will make sure that I perform Maghrib Salat with Jama'ah. And if I am able to spend time between Maghrib and Isha in the masjid with the intention of i'tikaf daily. And inshallah, I will try to spend some moments of the night in ibadat. If the whole night, alhamdulillah. If not, then some moments. Because the worship during these 10 nights is equivalent to the worship of Laylatul Qadr. Equivalent to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more than 1000 months. Another thing we will do is, we will recite frequently, Subhanallah, لا إله إلا الله الحمد لله and الله أكبر. We will recite this excessively because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that during these 10 days recite excessively Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. And on the 10th night of Zulhijjah, the night of Eid, we will again try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned specific virtues for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night of Eid, both Eids. During the night of Eid al-Fitr and also during the night of Eid al-Adha. And on the day of Eid al-Adha, we will make a point of sacrificing an animal. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith that when a person slaughters an animal Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person slaughters an animal on the day of Eid al-Adha or the 2 days after, the 3 days of Udhiyah. But because we are discussing the first 10 days, I am saying that on the 10th of Zulhijjah, inshallah, we will also make sacrifice, slaughter an animal. If it is wajib, we have to. If it is incumbent upon us, we have to. And even if it is not incumbent, we should try to sacrifice an animal if we are able to afford it. And if it is incumbent, we will not suffice by sacrificing one animal only. We will try to sacrifice as many animals as possible. The more we sacrifice, the more reward we will earn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that during these 3 days, the 10th of Zulhijjah, 11th of Zulhijjah and the 12th of Zulhijjah, the days of Nahr, the days of sacrifice, the days of Udhiyah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that no amal of Ibn Adam, no amal, no deed of the son of Adam is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the days of sacrifice than sacrificing an animal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that this animal will be brought on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will revive this animal and it will be brought on the day of Qiyamah with its horns, with its hair and with its wool, with its hooves. That means the whole animal will be brought. Allah is Almighty. He will put everything together. And the animal will be brought on the day of Qiyamah. And the animal will be weighed in favor of this person. It will be placed in the scale with the good deeds. And depending on the sincerity of the person who sacrificed the animal will become weighty. If the sincerity was 100%, then it will be very, very weighty, very heavy in the scale. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that when a person slaughters an animal as udhiyah, as sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha or during the days after the Eid al-Adha, during the 3 days of sacrifice, before the drop of blood from this animal falls on the ground, it is already accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with this person even before the blood drops on the ground. So we need to perform udhiyah. Islamic Dawah Academy has published a leaflet with this name Udhiya. So read that leaflet and try to find out whether Udhiya is wajib and incumbent upon you or not. If it is, then you have to. If it isn't, you should still try to sacrifice. And you should try to sacrifice as many as possible. And I always urge my brothers, my sisters, that we should sacrifice animals in those areas where people are deprived, where people are needy, in poor countries. Alhamdulillah. It's something good to do. But we should sacrifice at least one animal in this country also. So we are able to partake of the meat of our own sacrifice. Our children at home will be able to appreciate this great sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And from the Fajr of the 9th of Zulhijjah. From the Fajr of the 9th of Zulhijjah. Until the Asr of the 13th of Zulhijjah. We need to recite Takbirat-e-Tashriq. Immediately after the Fard Salat. It is wajib, it is incumbent, it is necessary. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. It is wajib upon the men and it is wajib upon the ladies. The ladies should recite it silently and the men should recite it loudly, straight after the Fard Salat. From the Fajr of 9th of Zulhijjah until the Asr of the 13th of Zulhijjah. That is 23 Salat in total. 5 Salat on the 9th, 5 on the 10th, 5 on the 11th, 5 on the 12th. That is 20 Salat. And then Fajr, Zohar and Asr. We need to be very particular. And it will bring a lot of reward as well. Lot of reward. And if we perform our own salat and recite our own takbirat-e-tashriq, then that is single takbirat-e-tashriq and single salat reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do it collectively, then we perform salat collectively and we recite takbirat-e-tashriq collectively. So, collectively our salat and our takbirat is reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go to the shop and buy something collectively, it's in a box, it's packed, it's in a box, and we buy it. 10 kilos, 20 kilos, 30 kilos, 10 kilos of dates, 20 kilos of dates, it's a whole box. Then we accept everything that comes in it. Even if there is a stone, it's part of the buy. We will not go back and say there were 5 stones and it's 2 ounces less, so we accept it. If quarter kilo we have to throw away, we still accept it. Because it's wholesale. We've bought everything. But if we buy something on a 1-to-1 base, if we buy a box of orange, we take it home. If there are 2, 3, 4 bad oranges, we throw them away. But if we buy on a 1-to-1 base, so we check each and every. When our salat reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on its own, Allah will check it properly. And when our salat reaches with everybody else, Allah knows, He is alim, He is khabir. But through the barakat of the other pious people with whom we have performed salat, Allah will accept our salat also. Takbirat-e-tashriq. If we are musafir, then performing salat with jamaat does not remain sunnah, muakkada or wajib. But even during safar, if we are able to, even during journeys, if we are able to perform salat with jamaat collectively, we should endeavor to do so. And similar is the case with Takbirati Tashriq. I have related the incident with my father. One day I went to visit my sister after the Eid al-Adha with my father. And it happened to be the 13th day of Zulhijjah. And it was during the summer days, June, July. So we left from Leicester after Zohar Salat and we reached there before Asr, between Zohar and Asr. And I was very busy talking to my sister, brother and sister talking away, and my father is telling me every 5-10 minutes that, "My son, Asr Salat is dawning upon us." And I'm looking at the clock and saying to myself, it's still half an hour left. The masjid is just beside my sister, the next door. So every 5 minutes he's reminding me, every 10 minutes he's reminding me. Then I went to the kitchen to perform wudu. And whilst performing wudu, I was talking to my sister again. So my father came in the kitchen to remind me again that Salat will begin very soon, quickly. He was very affectionate, so his way of nurturing, and it was his desire that I also benefit from the virtues that he is benefiting from. So what he liked for himself, he wanted me to do the same. I was very young, I had just graduated recently. So when going for Salat, he started talking about it again, that, "My son, we should be very careful in regard to performing Salat with Jamaat and then Takbirat al-Tashriq. This is the last Salat." So I said to him, "My father, we are Musafir. And it is not incumbent upon the Musafir to perform Salat with Jamaat. You are talking about Takbirat al-Tashriq. It is not incumbent, it is not wajib for us to perform Salat with Jamaat." So he became quiet, silent. We went to the masjid. We performed Salat. Alhamdulillah, Takbirat-i-Tashriq with the whole gathering. And then when we were returning after Salat, when there was only me and him, he looked at me and he said to me, that, "I was very disappointed when you made that comment. I did not teach you to find flexibilities through your ilm. Now that you are an alim and you know that as a traveler, it is not sunnah muakkada or wajib to perform salat with jama'ah, and we are just next door to the masjid and you are making this comment. I did not teach you ilm to find flexibilities to facilitate the desire of your nafs. This is not why I taught you ilm. I taught you ilm so that you are able to practice what you learn. That is why I taught you ilm. I am very disappointed." It was not his habit to get angry and rebuke and tell you off. But he was hurt. I could tell he was hurt. And it used to have a profound effect when he used to do tarbiyah. And then he said to me, "My son, I do not know when I missed Takbirat-i-Tashriq with congregation in my life. I can't remember. I don't know when I last missed my Takbirat-i-Tashriq." So for him, performing Salatul Jama'ah with Takbir-i-Tahrima was a must. It was a must. But even Takbirat-i-Tashriq, I must go to the masjid so I am able to perform Salat with Jamaat and also Takbirat-i-Tashriq with the congregation, even if I am a Musafir. So from the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah Fajr until the Asr of the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, let us perform Salat with Jamaat and audibly say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi." So my brothers, my sisters, I urge myself also, I urge my nafs, I urge all of you, all my brothers, sisters, to value these coming 10 days. including the night of Eid, including the day of Eid. The day of Eid is a day of happiness. Who has made this day the day of Eid? Who has made this day the day of happiness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has made this day the day of happiness for us, and it is Allah who we disobey and make unhappy on the day of Eid, on the day of happiness. No, on the day of Eid we should worship Allah more. We should be more punctual, and we should make sure that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things we need to do during the coming 10 days, and with that make sure that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. This is what is called taqwa. Taqwa means to abstain from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during any moment of our lives, we should not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But especially during the blessed moments and in blessed places, we should never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the harms of sin increases during blessed days. Just as the reward increases, the harms of sin increases. It is for this reason Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma used to say regarding Makkah Mukarrama, there is a place called Rukbah outside Makkah Mukarrama, a small place. So they would say that committing 70 sins in Rukbah is more preferable to me than committing one mistake in Makkah Mukarrama. So we need to be even more careful as far as abstaining from sins is concerned during blessed moments and during blessed days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. The Islamic Dawah Academy has published a leaflet also, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Try to take that leaflet, acquire this leaflet, read the leaflet and follow the instruction in this leaflet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these days blessed for all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم بارك لنا فيها. اللهم بارك لنا فيها. اللهم بارك لنا فيها. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.